Bless you, saints. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Maybe we can sing that song. It's Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one.
When upon life's billows you are tense and tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, me blessing, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Are you ever burdened with the load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the day goes by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings. Your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angel will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. Real glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Cast your burdens
unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Higher, 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 lift Jesus higher. Higher, 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 lifting Jesus higher. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Lova, 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 from the devil, lova, 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 from the devil, lova.
Lord, we thank you for these tithes and offerings. Bless it now. Bless your children. We commit it into your hands. Let it be used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He came the gloom with glory. When Jesus comes, the one sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, light he could not see. He clutched his rocks and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all his chains, when Jesus comes to stay, from home and friends, the evil spirit drove him. Among the tombs, he dwelled in misery. He cut himself as demons' power possessed him. When Jesus came and set the captive free. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the light with glory. For all his chains, when Jesus comes to stay. Unclean, unclean, the leper cried in torment. And dumb in helplessness to me. The fever of disease had awakened. Then Jesus came and set a captive free. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the light with glory. For all his chains, when Jesus comes to stay. So many today have found the Savior able. Compassion, lust, and sin. Their broken hearts had left them sad and lonely. Then Jesus came and dwelt himself within us. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. When Jesus comes,
and he fills the life with glory.
For all his chains, when Jesus comes to stay. When Jesus comes,
the tempter's power is broken.
When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all his change, when Jesus comes to stay.
of good courage that spoke unto Joshua.
When all the rivers
he pointed away, Jordan and cross above, things impossible. Waters divided as they march in obey. God, any rivers you think are uncrossable, God, any mountains you can't tunnel through, God specializes in things of impossible, and he will do what no other power can do. Battles to win, they would meet with the obstacles. Jericho walls who must fall to the ground. God never fails, he stood back of his promises. Walls had to crumble as they marched on. Are uncrossable. God, any mountains you can't tunnel through. God specializes in things that are impossible, and he will do what no other power can do.
God is the same.
God is the same, and his word is dependable. He'll make a way through the waters
for you and me.
Life situations by him are amendable. Mountains and hills he will part for you.
You got any rivers?
Got any rivers you think are uncrossable?
You got any mountains?
Got any mountains you can't tunnel through. God specializes in things that are impossible, and he will do what no other power can do. Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus.
Let me go.
I am in the school of wisdom. Oh, oh, grace, I know hope, yes, Lord.
Deeper
in thy grace,
higher
and higher every day. A blessed Lord in thy precious holy word.
Deeper,
blessed Holy Spirit, take me deeper still, till my life is wholly lost in Jesus. Take me, yes, Lord, deeper, I pray, and higher every day, and rise a blessed Lord with thy precious holy word. Oh, deeper, thou in cause the trials
departed,
me go
rooted
in the holy love of Jesus. Let me fruitful go deep, higher I pray,
higher
and higher every day. Blessed Lord,
in thy precious holy word. Deeper, higher, every day in Jesus. Till our conflict is past. Minds be conquered, any wrong image perfect, that at last. Deeper yet I pray,
higher
and higher every day. Yes, Lord. A blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word.
Oh, deeper, oh, deeper,
deeper yet I pray.
Oh, higher
and higher every day. And by the blessed Lord, in thy precious holy power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from the burdens of sin? There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you give a victory win? There is wonderful power, thank you, Lord. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride?
Hallelujah.
There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for the cleansing to Calvary time. There is wonderful power. Thank you, Lord. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Could you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Life-giving flow, there's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power,
power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Who view the service for Jesus, your King?
Yes, Lord.
In the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises?
Yes, Lord.
Power in the blood. Yes, power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious work of the Lamb. The original love. The original, it's what I believe. The surrender is revealed, the third seal is unveiled. The original life,
original seed. God's attributes were manifested to His bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord for the original life. The original life. The original seed. The original word. It's what I believe. Son of man,
well, the Son of Man
is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original light, the original seed. We are called and made faith. This is what the scriptures say, and our names are sealed within. Redeemed and perfect without sin. Yes, we are anointed and inspired. I have a call. Who's the original light? The original light. The original sin. The original word.
The
seven seal is unveiled, the original light, the original seed. Our eyes of understanding, He has opened up at last.
Victory
is ours, who were changed down in the past. Through Jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our call. The original light, the original light, the original seed, the original word. It's what I believe. Is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original light, the original sin. We are called unto adoption, full authority and power. Sleeping saints will wake and join us. Translation in this hour. Days will soon be over. Glory, hallelujah, to our God. The original light. The original light.
The original seed.
The original word. What I believe, the Son of Man,
well, the Son of
is
Man.
Revealed and sealed,
well, the seventh
is unveiled, the original light, the original seed. There shall be showers of blessing. This is promise of life. There shall be seasons ring this morning. Thou showers of blessing. Showers of blessing I need, yes, Lord. Mercy drops round us are falling. But portion showers I plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again, yes, Lord, over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain, showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Come to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, all that day may fall. Now as to God we are confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Yes, Lord, showers of blessing this morning. Blessing I need, O Lord. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Let's change to key D and join that song with Paul and Silas. Blessing his name, amen. In prison is chained, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas let's pray that night.
And in their pain,
let's sing, brother, sister. We have no pain today like Paul and Silas, but they sung, amen. Oh, and they were free. His power is saved. Your name, I bless your name, Lord. This morning, I bless your name.
I give you
honor. I give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should die, you're in the prison in your mind. Reach out by grace, defy those chains, and they will fall in Jesus' name. Even this morning, I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. Yes, I give you praise. The light, through the way, I bless your name, I bless your name.
So if you find
that in your life,
you're in the midst of time so hard,
reach out by faith,
the eyes I know,
and you will
Yes, Lord, I bless your name.
I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light that showed the way. I bless your name. I bless your name.
Let's sing one more song, saints. Let's sing. There's going to be a meeting in the air. In the sweet, sweet by and by. God bless you, saints. Let's sing one more before we come to the word. We just sing the chorus and one of the verses and the chorus again.
You have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. Oh, you have heard of Philip naked in the street. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah. I should like to meet them all in any claim. One by the Lord will surely let us meet them at the meeting.
Looking forward to that day. There's going to be a meeting in the air, and all the things we do in this life are but a shadow of things that are to be. Yes, sir.
Can you cut the microphone?
Singing that song, we just need to pray for somebody. Thanks, saints. Saints, there's a brother here who needs to be prayed for. Let's unite our faith together. Amen. That the Lord may meet our brother at his point of need.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we know that you love an opportunity to reveal yourself. And here we are, Lord, in your presence, in your house. And here's your son, and he needs a touch from you. Father, you know the need inside of his heart. You know the burden in his heart, Lord. Father, you know the desire that he has. You know, Father, Lord, the attack of the enemy. Father, you know the purposes, Lord, that would be against him. But Father, you have said, I have given unto you power over all the power of the enemy. Lord, you said we should even tramp on serpents and scorpions. So, Lord, we come against Satan upon this day, and we rebuke him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand against every purpose, Lord, that he would bring. Father, he may have hidden from different people. He may hide from psychiatrists. He may hide from doctors. Father, but he cannot hide from you. So we call Jesus on the scene. Father, upon this day, we ask of you that there'd be a from that time in the life of our brother, that, Lord, he'd look back in days and times to come by grace to say, surely it was on a Sunday. Somebody touched me. Jesus, we touch you now on behalf of our brother, Lord, and we bless him for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen, my brother. God bless you, brother. Amen, saints. Let's open our Bibles. God bless you this morning. We have a prayer request as well to pray for William. He's not well. There's a bug going around at the moment. As we open our Bibles, let's greet our visitors. Saints are already gathering for the wedding, which is a good thing. So we're so privileged to have Brother Lubanza's mother here from South Africa. So God bless to Brother Lubanza's mother. And we also have Sister Sharon, Sister Asna's cousin Jemima. She's with us as well. God bless you, Jemima. Amen. And also Esther from Paris. God bless her as well. So we're really glad to be gathered together with saints from the East and the West. Sister Gloria is giving a thanksgiving. She'd like to thank the Lord for journeying mercies to Ghana. So thank you, sister, for that. And let's just pray for William before we go any further. Father, we pray for William as well. We know this bug that's going around, Lord, Father. And we just look unto thee. We just touch you upon this day, Lord. We know that you are the great high priest who can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. So, Lord, we pray for William. May you just touch him, Lord, that all will be well. Bless the visitors in our gates, Lord. Bless your word as you open it up now, Lord. You pray for Brother Wilmore at work. May, Father, you be with him, Father, the wedding and all these things that are upon our hearts now. We want to just commit all things into your hands. Father, you said, even as we sung the song, casting all of our burdens upon you, we bring it unto thee upon this day. May your blessing be upon all that is said and done upon this day. And may you help us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, saints. Let's open to Revelation 19, verse 9. Revelation 19, verse 9. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. It's a blessing to be invited. Saints, have you ever asked yourself the question why weddings are such a big occasion in life? You know, it's a huge occasion. If you think in life, there's very few things that are a bigger occasion in somebody's life than a wedding, as we can see with the wedding that's coming up. You know, so I just wanted to address that issue a little bit upon this morning. Why are weddings such a special occasion? I mean, you think of it. We've already got Brother Lubanza's mom from South Africa, people from Paris coming already. We're going to have over 200 visitors from outside of the country coming for the wedding. We have ministers coming from different places. Imagine all the logistics taking place, the cost of the wedding, getting a venue. Imagine even just the bride with her bridal dress, you know, dressing for the occasion. My, put it all together. Think of how much it costs, and nobody will begrudge that. Nobody will say 1 cent of it is going to be wasted money because it's a special occasion. There's something special about a wedding. So we want to just try to get into that today. Why are weddings such a special occasion? I think it's a real blessing. Let's also read Ephesians 5, verse 31. Ephesians 5, verse 31. And verse 32. This is the Apostle Paul. Ephesians 5, 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. And they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Amen. So Paul, he says, we are going to be witnessing a great mystery. Now, the natural unfolding of what is a great mystery next week on Monday, friends. It's going to be a mystery. We're looking at something which is a type of Christ and his church, which is a great blessing. So may the Lord be glorified. May be seated, saints. God bless you this morning. Just want to really say to Brother Tendai, Sister Anatolia, God bless you for the birth of the little one. It's really a happy occasion. We also have some more visitors. Sister Shirley, Brother George's friend. Where's Shirley there? God bless you. You're more than welcome, Shirley. And also Musa, neighbor to our sister Zinjile. Musa, where's Musa? Oh, it's the one who left. Okay, so we prayed for him, so. God bless you, saints. So what we're looking at today is Paul tells us that this is a great mystery. We're going to look at a great mystery, but we'll take our thought today of being in the spirit of the occasion. Now, I think that's a great, great thing. Whenever there's an occasion, to be in the spirit of the occasion. If you want to get a blessing from something, you really want to be in the spirit of that occasion. But Paul is telling us that marriage, a man and a woman, is a great mystery. Now, so what is a mystery? A mystery in itself is, the definition of a mystery is a hidden purpose of God. So something that God has as a purpose, something that's in the heart of God, something that's important to him, and he veils it for a season. It's a mystery. Then in due season, he unveils it. And people can now enter into that mystery. You can enter into the fellowship, the understanding of that mystery. So mysteries are normally deep divine truth. And it's normally something that's really a great truth that God has inside of himself. And that's a mystery, and it's something which he holds in his heart until the appointed time. Then at the appointed time, he reveals that mystery. And people can now enter in and enjoy fellowshipping in that great mystery of whatever it was that he had inside of his heart. And God loves to admit his friends into the mysteries. Maybe he said to Abraham, he said, shall I hide from Abraham the things that I do? You know, so God had a purpose and he was doing something. And he said, I just want to come and speak to my friend Abraham. I need to tell him this something that's in my heart because this is important to me. I want to fellowship with my friend Abraham about these things. So mysteries speak of God's secret counsel or his purposes. And generally mysteries speak of redemptive truth. Because what is the most important thing to the Lord is redemption. Yeah, as he looks down at this fallen world, there's nothing more important to the Lord than the mystery of redemption. You know, so the great truths in God, the most important things in his heart are the things of redemption, salvation, deliverance, and those kind of things. So these are the great, great mysteries. So when God has something important inside of his heart, you know, he really is thinking deeply about something. Then at a certain season, he comes and he reveals and opens up that mystery. That opens up a great potential for us to fellowship with him in a special way. If we get into the spirit of that mystery, if we get into the spirit of what God is doing and revealing at that time, we can enter into a great, great depth of fellowship that maybe we haven't had before. You know, so these seasons when God is unveiling something, when he's unsealing something, when he's making these precious things known, you know, things that are important to him, what does he expect of us at that time? He wants us to approach things the right way. Because if something's important to God, he wants it to be important to us as well. Now, he doesn't cast his pearl before swine. Now, if you approach God, he may have a great mystery he wants to reveal to you today. But if your heart is saying, hey, I wish we were out of here. I hope it doesn't take too long today. I don't think you're going to get too much into the depth of a mystery because a mystery needs you to approach it the right way. Because don't forget the climax of all mysteries. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And if you want to benefit from Christ, you've got to approach him a certain way. Now, there's a certain approach to these things because if God finds something as being sacred or important, you know, he wants us to discern as well and realize, but hey, this is important. I think, let me take off my shoes. Let me walk a little bit carefully as I approach this mystery. But God, you know, I think us in the message, we speak of mysteries sometimes. And I liked what somebody once said. He says, once a mystery has been unveiled, it shouldn't be a mystery anymore. So when somebody comes and preaches to you and the mystery is even a greater mystery, when they finish preaching, they didn't actually unveil the mystery because God unveils a mystery. So he wants to make that so simple. The mystery is so simple in its season. If it's not yet the season, you can knock on that door. You can try to get into that mystery. You'll just confuse people. But at the right time, God, when he unveils the mystery, he wants it to be simple because God hides in simplicity and reveals himself the same. So mystery should become simple, but it doesn't mean they're not profound. Now, because God's truth is so simple, but it's so deep. Now, you approach divine truth. You can be in the outer court of divine truth and you can enjoy it. Then you can say, I want to go a bit closer, and you take off your shoes and you get into the spirit of it. You can now enter into the holy place of that mystery. And you can walk even deeper in that same simple mystery that's been revealed. And then if you want to go further, you can get into the most holy place of that mystery now. And God can really make it even deeper. You take a simple parable in the Bible, you could spend the rest of your life, if you got in the spirit of that parable, just going deeper and deeper, and God would just reveal another layer and another level of what he was meaning when he gave that parable. So God's things are not complicated, but they're deep. They're only spiritually discerned. I mean, God unveils a mystery. Who catches the mystery? Is the spirit filled? Because they spiritually discern. So if you're in the spirit of it and you're desiring to walk with God in your day, it's not going to be a problem for him to unveil his mysteries to you because he unveils his mystery to his friends and more so to his bride. Yeah, so God hides these mysteries in his word. But how does he reveal them? Now, we read this a few weeks back, but from Christ as a mystery of God revealed, the prophet says God keeps things secret to himself. And he veils things up in a mystery. For example, he's given us the example of the coming of the Lord. He says, excuse me, it's not revealed in the scripture how Christ will come exactly, when he's going to come. Do you know exactly when he's going to come? Can you put it on the calendar? No, you can't. And exactly how it's going to take place, what's going to exactly happen just before and exactly. We know a lot of things around it, But God has still veiled this up in a mystery. And he does that for a purpose. He says, you see, the coming of the Lord, that's one thing he hasn't revealed yet, how he'll come and when he'll come. But he has shown or revealed it in every type that's in the Bible. Yeah, so God can take a great, great spiritual truth and he can go and hide it just in a type in the Bible. Yeah, so nothing which, we're not expecting anything new outside of the Bible. Everything God's going to say is inside of here. Concerning redemption. So everything which he was going to say or do all through the ages, he veiled it in his word. If it was a mystery not to be revealed at that time, he put it in a parable. Or he put it in a shadow. Or he put it in a type. He put it in the tabernacle. Or he put it in Joseph. Or he put it in Ruth. You know, he hid it away there. People can just read over the top of that. But in due season, when God wants to make that deep truth known to his people, so people can fellowship with him around a certain truth, he opens that mystery at that time. And it may just be in a simple thing, but it can be something which is so, so very deep and so profound. So the prophet says that he's shown or revealed it in every type that's in the Bible. And all of the acts of the believers in the Bible has been in type, expressing what God's great goal is. And now in the last day, he has revealed it and shows it. Amen. So at the end of the age now, because God, during the ages, he had to veil a lot of things in mystery. Because if Satan, like we say, like the prophet teaches, if Satan got a hold of that divine truth too early, he could get in the way. He could impersonate it. He could confound what God was going to do. So God veiled himself in his word. In the parables, types, shadows, and all these different things. And then Satan's trying to understand. And at the right season, when God wants to do something, now we're in the season of the rapture. So he has Enoch in the Bible, the seventh from Adam. And Enoch walked with God and he was not. And people read that all the time. And it's like, it's interesting. But then there comes a certain season when it's time for God to fulfill that mystery. He now breaks it open. And there's a special something that's released in that story. And you can start getting into the spirit of that mystery in his word. You know, so God veils things until the right season. We sometimes try to be like the men of Kirjath Jearim in the Bible. Remember when the ark was brought by the Philistines? They put it on the wagon. They sent it back down to Israel because there was a plague among them because of the ark. And they brought it into the house of Obed-Edom, I think his name was, in Kirjath Jearim. And the Lord blessed his house. Then the guys there thought, hey, let's try to see what's inside of the ark. You know, they took their pry bar, whatever, and they opened up the ark and they looked. And the Lord smote them all with a plague. I think sometimes we like that. We try to force open God's things and try to say, what's this? Did that not cause us all the problem in the message? Amen. You know, people trying to force this open and force this interpretation. The prophet says, just live a good Christian life. And whatever it is God needs you to know, he'll get it to you. Amen. Friends, you weren't trying to pry open the lid of the Bible to find out about the message of the hour. You didn't even know there was a message of the hour. But because you're a child of God, in due season, God brought the message to you. When you needed the message, he brought it to you. When you needed to get married, he'll bring you a wife. He'll bring you a husband. You need to be forcing open the door, you know, trying to use manipulation and political means. And no, you don't need to do that. It's not our responsibility, these things. It's God's responsibility. The prophet is asked the question, who will be in the rapture? He says, will babies go in the rapture? He said, if they elected, if they're predestinated. He says, everyone who's predestinated will be in the rapture. Yeah, God already recorded it in his book before the foundation of the world, who's going to be in the rapture. It's not by power and it's not by might, friends. No, it's God who shows mercy in its season. When you were bound in sin, you're bound in iniquity. It wasn't your power or your might that set you free at that time. It was God came and revealed redemption to you. And that revelation, that visitation set you free in due season. That's how it is with every promise of God. But we do have our part to play. That when God is starting to unveil something and you start to discern it's the season for something, he wants us to esteem what he's doing. He wants us to approach it the right way. We need to discern the things that the Lord is doing. And friends, why we're so privileged at the end. The prophet speaking here that God hides everything in shadows and types. That's why he had to send a prophet that had no education. Because the word is hidden in shadows and types. The prophet says, I don't have much education, so I have to use typology, which is the only way that God reveals things, is by shadows and types anyhow. You know, it's not by education that God reveals things. He reveals things by shadows and type. Paul says, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He starts saying, okay, as it was in the days of Lot. Oh, that's the time we're living in as well. You see, he's already hidden away our day in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. Then in due season, he comes and unveils them. He starts saying, okay, we're living in exactly the same day as then. You see, and you could get deeper and deeper and deeper into that the more that you approach it the right kind of a way. But in the first seal, the prophet says, for this alone, the mysteries of God is the ministry of the seventh angel. So the message at the end comes to make clear all the mysteries. There's no purpose for any more mysteries anymore. Everything that was hidden for a purpose. But now we're at the end. So at the end, God comes and unveils all those mysteries. We can look back and say, oh, that's what that was. Oh, that's what the white horse was. That's what the red horse was. That's where the seven stars in his hand. It's not a mystery anymore. But we like to be mysterious because we think being mysterious is being deep. You know, I remember once being at work and I had to teach people how to do Microsoft Excel, doing macros. You know, people who know macros. So I got the guys together and I made my notes. I taught them. And one guy came to me and said, that was really simple. I said, I can make it complicated if you want. But I would have thought teaching is supposed to make something simple. If it's still complicated at the end, I don't think you've done your job right. And God in his season, he makes it so simple. He says in Isaiah that even the fool may walk therein. Yeah, like especially the things of salvation. God, the mystery of salvation, God makes it so clear because he wants all to be saved. Yeah, why is he going to hide things that are important for us from us? As long as we approach it the right way. The people who didn't approach Jesus the right way, like I've said before, when they came and questioned Jesus and they had their arrogant attitude, he answered them with questions. So you'd come with one question and you'd go with two. That's how Jesus was. But anybody approached him the right way, Master, declare to us the parable of the sower. Sit down. The sower is the Son of Man. The seed is the world. Yeah. That's how the Lord is. Approach him the right way. These are our things. This is the children's bread. Why is he going to withhold the children's bread from us? And he's already unveiled these things in our day. So as long as we can just get into the spirit of the mystery, long as we can just say, but wow, I want to walk with God in my day. Lord, this is powerful. And you approach it the right, it'll keep unfolding itself. And he'll reveal himself to you in whatever the mystery is in your day. That's why Peter on the day of Pentecost, he caught the mystery of his day. He says, this is that which the prophet Joel spoke about. You see, no one ever before had been able to say that. None of the Old Testament people could ever read that scripture that in the last days I'll pour out my spirit on my sons and my daughters. The old men shall dream dreams, the young men shall prophesy. Nobody could ever understand that properly before. Until Peter came, then he said, oh, this is that which was spoken by Joel. God had already spoken it. Now it was being fulfilled in his season. Now he could come and say, this is that. You see, and that's really how God hides his things. He hides it in this is that. And that's how we can recognize our day in its message. In Shalom, the prophet says, if you want to really understand what a symphony is, maybe he says God's great program is a symphony. He says we're on certain sheet music now. We're on certain pages of the sheet music being fulfilled. He says, you've got to get in the spirit of the composer. Yeah. And he says, and God will reveal it to those who are interested in it. Yeah. Now, you coming to the symphony, you're sitting there saying, hey, I don't know why my parents brought me here today. He said, the prophets, it'll just be a lot of racket, a lot of noise to you. Now, the drum, beating of the drums, and then the flutes come in at a certain time, then a certain cello, percussion instruments. But he says, to the person who's interested in it, everything has its purpose. And you're waiting for that certain junction, saying, I know the drums are going to roll just now. Peter and the wolf, I know that's when the wolf's coming in now. And in your mind, you can get so caught up in the symphony, the whole drama's playing inside of your mind, and someone falls asleep next to you. And you will guard it there and say, that was so powerful. And the person will say, that was just a big bunch of confusion. I never understood a thing. Because you didn't get in the spirit of the occasion. You didn't, when something was being revealed, a mystery in the composer. Yeah? You know, he gets it deep inside of him. He catches an inspiration.
He grabs his pen. He writes down the sheet music. Yeah, another conductor gets it now, and he gets in the spirit. And he, you know, I was listening to it once, how the great conductors, they go back to the life of the composer. They want to know, okay, when he composed this, what was he going through in his life? You know, they want to really get in the spirit of that composer. Okay, so Beethoven, when he was going deaf, that's when he wrote the symphony. Oh, okay, you see. And then you'll understand better now. It's not just the sheet music, but it's even the spirit behind the sheet. What was the man feeling at that time? What's he trying to express in the sheet music? And if you're really interested in it, you can enter into it in a far deeper way. That thing can become very personal to you because it ministers to you. You can get it. You might feel, but hey, I really like the symphony because, you know, what Bach was going through at this time is exactly what I'm going through in my life. That's why you love certain psalms, because David was going through what you're going through. So this was like sympathetic resonance now, that what frequency he was at is the frequency inside of you. So you can enter into that something, but you've got to be interested in it. Friends, you can never receive anything from God without approaching him the right way. Amen. There's the message, the approach to God. The prophet says, you can't come into a courtroom and say, hey, judge. Yeah, you get yourself in trouble. You've got to come, Your Honor. You've got to come with a certain approach. You've got to wait for the right time. You can't just approach a king just anyway and say, you know, whatever you say to a king. There's a certain approach. If you want to get a favor from the throne, you've got to approach the throne the right way. And Nehemiah realized that and knew, I've got to really pray up. I've got to approach this throne the right way if I want to receive now in the season of the mystery the things that I need. And he really went and consecrated himself. But he was interested in what was happening at that junction. He wanted to walk with God, play his part at that junction. And every child of God has got the same potential inside of them. So you've got to approach it the right way. The other week at communion, we spoke about Abraham and the offering of Isaac. Now, Abraham could feel when God spoke to him that there was a mystery behind what he was being asked to do. Now, for God to ask me to go and sacrifice my son, my only son, the one that I love, there's got to be a reason. Why is God asking me to do this? God doesn't just ask me to do this for nothing. And he could feel Abraham inside of himself, this was deep. This was important to God. This was something coming from the heart of God. And why was it coming from the heart of God? Because God, like we said, was looking 2,000 years in the future, 1,500 years, when he was going to offer his own son on the wood, on the altar. You know, so Abraham could feel. So the moment Abraham realized God's unfolding a mystery here, he knew, I've got to walk carefully now. I've got to get in the spirit of what's being done because, hey, this is important to the Lord. And if it's important to him, it's supposed to be important to me as well. And if I want to walk with God at this time, I've got to get walking step by step. I've got to be walking in harmony with him at this time. So Abraham, he approached it secretly. He approached it as an act of worship. And he took the knife. He cut the wood himself. He took everything, went himself to go now to fulfill what God was asking because he could feel inside of himself. There's something taking place at this time. So I need to enter into this carefully. Now, friends, Paul is telling us that marriage is a great mystery. You know, so for us to really, really understand this, the prophet says you've got to enter it prayerfully and advisably. Yeah. If you really, really want to fulfill the purpose, the mystery of marriage that God is unfolding inside of your life, he doesn't want you just to walk into it lightly and just, you know, use the tactics of the world. No. This is something that's got to be done prayerfully. Like Sister Asnath, Brother Shem, the way they've approached this. In the midst of this generation that we're living in. I mean, if you really think of the age that we're living in, it doesn't respect this mystery anymore. The world doesn't understand what marriage is about. They think marriage is something like a car. You know, get one today, get tired of it, buy another one, trade it in, get another one. No, there's no mystery. There's no sacredness in it anymore. They never approach marriage the right way. That's why they never get the divine blessing from it. That's why the real purpose of marriage never unfolds to them. That's why there's such an epidemic of divorce. No, because they don't approach. This is not something that came from man, marriage. This came from God. God instituted marriage. And marriage is important to him. This is something in the heart of God, very important to him. Because when he comes down to Paul, he reveals, Paul, People have been getting married now for all these thousands of years before, but they never fully understood the mystery. When I came down there in Eden and I said, it's not good for my son to be alone, it wasn't just speaking about my son Adam. I was speaking of something far beyond that. Because my son, he was going to come down the way. And it's not good for my son to be on his own. My son wants a bride. There's going to be a mystery of redemption. I'm going to choose a bride for my son. So when the Lord now is speaking to Adam and he puts Adam in the garden, and Adam now he starts feeling inside of himself, you know, everything's going well. His soul is doing well. His ministry is doing well. You know, he can name all the animals. He's in harmony with God. But there comes a deep inside of him, there comes a yearning. There comes something and he just feels there's more than this. Yeah, and the Lord looks down and he's in sympathy with his son and he says, not good for my son to be on his own. Friends, God is unveiling the mystery of marriage to us here. Because God was looking to say, I want my son to have the right bride. Yeah, I want him to have a wife who's a helpmeet to him. Because I want my son when he comes down the way. I'm not just going to give him any sort of a bride. He's got to have a bride who's compatible with him. He's got to have a bride that's able to walk with him in the purposes that I want them to fulfill. You know, so this deep inside of God, Adam starts to feel the same kind of a deep thing. Wow, I'm starting to feel something I never felt before. It's called loneliness. And the Lord says, Adam, that's true, my son. It's not good for a man to be alone. And Brother Shem, he was feeling that in an appointed time. And God had a shadow of this great mystery to be fulfilled in his life. And while he comes across to New Grange. He comes across now to the youth meeting. He thinks he's just coming to a youth meeting. And the Lord says, wonderful, because in the line of duty, I've got another mystery I'm going to unveil to you. And he comes across to New Grange and then, bam, he sees a certain sister. And something starts to move inside of him that's never moved before. And he starts saying, but this is different. This isn't the way that it's always been before. Maybe before he's seen certain sisters. Maybe some are really pretty. He's gone here. He's gone there. People try to arrange this. But now God's mysteries have an appointed time. And when the appointed time has come, you feel it inside of your soul. You feel there's something different this time. This is not just me trying to do things. Brother Joel said, amen. You see, because he's just recently entered into the mystery. This mystery was unveiled, and him and Sister Chisoma, they entered into the spirit of the occasion. They realized this is the season. God is unveiling something to us. God has a purpose here, and maybe they tried to knock on that door before. They thought maybe the door will open. And the Lord kept that door closed. But in due season, there's an appointed time. The Lord now comes down and he says, it's not good for my son to be on his own. And friends, this is the first principle about marriage. Marriage is God's responsibility. It's not your responsibility or mine to find the right bride. No, he's the one who will choose a bride for his son. And that's reflected in Abraham, the mystery as well. When Abraham's feeling now for his son, he looks at his son Isaac and said, my son, he's been a good son. He's been a faithful son. This is a covenant son. All of the promises are bound up inside of my son Isaac. But he's not married. I can't let him marry one of these Canaanites. Can't let him marry one of these worldly girls with their Maybelline and their Max Factor and all of this kind of stuff. No, I've got to find someone who's compatible with my son. And he has the burden inside of himself, Abraham, for his son. And he can't rest. And what does he do? He looks out among all of his servants. He finds his most faithful servant, Eliezer. And he says, go and call Eliezer. There's a burden upon my heart. And Eliezer comes into the tent that day and says, Master, you wanted to speak to me. He says, Eliezer, I want to admit you into a mystery. There's a deep inside of me, and I'm just feeling for my son. That somewhere, this is a child of the promise. This is a covenant son. Somewhere there's a bride suitable for my son. Somewhere there's a bone of his bone and a flesh of his flesh. You know, because it's now I can see my son. There's a deep rising inside of him. He's never spoken before much about marriage, but I can see he's getting a bit unsettled now. He's starting to look at his condition. There's a, you know, the deep is moving inside of him. So if the deep is moving inside of my son, there's got to be a deep somewhere to respond to this deep. And Eliezer, I'm calling you. You are my most trusted servant. Put your hand under my thigh. Which was how they made the most solemn vow and covenant. Swear unto me by the God of heaven and earth. You will not allow my son to get married to one of these worldly women. Yeah. But even if you have to travel far, go to my kindred, go to my bloodline. Yeah. Maybe she's not here, but she's somewhere. I can feel it inside of my soul. So what I need you to do, Eliezer, I need you to get into the spirit of the occasion. Because there's a mystery here that needs to be unfolded. It's the mystery of the choosing of a bride. Yeah, and I can feel that, I don't know, the Lord is so near to me at this time, Eliezer. I can really sense the Lord. He wants this to be handled carefully. That's why I'm not choosing just anybody to look after this. I'm asking you, Eliezer, I trust you to do this. And Eliezer now, he gets into the spirit of the mystery. He realizes that, hey, this is serious stuff. I can't enter into this unadvisably. The prophet says, enter into it prayerfully and advisably. What does Eliezer do? He takes advice from Abraham. Where am I supposed to go? What happens if she doesn't want to come? Should I take your son and take him there? Abraham says, never. You can never take my son out of the word to go and get married. If she doesn't want to come in the word, then rather let the man stay single. But he's got to stay in the land. He's got to stay in the word. And if she's the one appointed, she'll be willing to come into the word as well. Because the same God who gave me the son after 25 years of waiting, yeah, the same God who raised him from the dead there on Mount Moriah, yeah, gave him back to me as a one from the dead. Surely this issue of marriage is nothing to him. But Eliezer, you need to walk in the spirit of this mystery. And Eliezer, now he gets prayerful. The prophet says Eliezer is a model servant. What does he do? He gets into prayer. He knows this responsibility is too great for me. Yeah, this I can mess up this mystery. I can put the flesh into this. I can put my own understanding into this. So he starts to pray. And when he starts to pray now, the Lord sends the angel before him. And he gets to the well there at evening time. You know, a type of our age. And he has Eliezer. Friends, there's the sevenfold mystery of Eliezer. Every church age had an Eliezer. Every church age, God sent someone, go and choose my bride. In our age, he sent Elijah. That was Eliezer in this age. To go and choose the bride, to get the bride, and to prepare her now to meet Isaac. But in every age, God has this mystery that he wants to unfold. And this is so important to the Lord. And friends, natural marriage now. When you gather next Monday and we see the bride dressed all in white and a great company of witnesses, and here's the bridegroom, and there's going to be the exchanging of rings. It's going to be the covenant's going to be given and the covenant's going to be accepted. The world doesn't understand these things, but we understand these things. There's a powerful spiritual dimension to these things. No, this is not speaking of just natural things. This is speaking of spiritual things. This is speaking of the union of Christ and his bride. Wow, what can be more sacred than that? So Eliezer, he starts to realize the seriousness of this commission. He starts to realize this is a great mystery. Wow, I've got it. And a mystery, God doesn't want you to be complicated, but God wants you to be prayerful. God wants you to approach it the right way. And the moment Eliezer approaches it the right way, and now he's in prayer by the well at the evening time, and as he prays in his heart, Lord, Father, that I might know that she's the right one, let the maiden that comes out and I ask her to give me to drink, let her also offer to water my camels. By this I know she's the one. And the Bible says, and as soon as he finished praying, there was she was standing at the well. It wasn't complicated. Yeah, she just had to, he had just had to approach it the right way. Because God's mysteries are only mysteries until the appointed time. Then he unveils the mystery, then it becomes clear. Now he says, oh, this isn't a mystery anymore. But let me just confirm. And he asks her, where are you from? You know, I'm from the house of Nahor. Wow, you from the house of Nahor. That's my relative. Surely I being in the way, the Lord has led me to the house of my master. Hey, And friends, you start seeing the mystery start to unveil. Then he says, okay, let me wait and see. He goes and have some food with them. They make a feast now, you know, Laban and all of them, and say, come and sit down, thou blessed of the Lord. Why did Laban say that? Because he saw all the jewels and the gifts and the 10 camels. You see, that's what Laban was interested in. He was interested, yeah, I can get something out of this. But what was Rebecca interested in? She wasn't interested in that. She wanted to know about Isaac. Who's this covenant son? Yeah. I've heard of Abraham before. This child, tell me more about him. Yeah, let me tell you about my master. Let me tell you about his son. The prophet says that model servant never spoke about himself. You never even find the name Eliezer in Genesis 24. Genesis 22. You don't find his name there. He's not there for himself. He's walking in a mystery. And he's got a very important part to play. And he's got to take off his shoes. And he's got to walk with the Lord in that so that the mystery can fully unveil itself. And now he sees this looks like the one, but he goes to the meal. They say, come and eat. He says, no, I'm not going to eat until first I tell you the business. Let me tell you the commission that I'm here for. I've been commissioned by my master. He's in his old age now. He's got a son, a precious son who's looking for a bride. And I prayed today by the well, and your daughter came as an answer to prayer. They said, this is of the Lord. Who can say anything against this? So they sit down to eat. He goes to sleep. Next morning, he gets up. He says, please, the Lord has prospered me. Let me go. Let me take this maiden. Let me go back to the house of my master and to my master's son. They say, let us stay for another 10 days at least. He says, please, don't hold me back. This is a mystery unfolding. We can't get caught up in man's program here. And then there's, okay, let's call the maid. Let's ask her what she thinks. Now she gets into the spirit of the occasion. She gets into the spirit of the mystery. When she hears Eliezer speaking about Abraham, speaking about Isaac, speaking about the inheritance, speaking about the covenant promises, something so much moves inside of Rebecca. Imagine, she's never seen the boy. She's just sharing through a messenger. It's just revealed so powerfully to her. She sees the mystery in her own life. She says, oh, that's why I was different than all the other girls all these years. That's when all the other girls are running around with boys and playing around with the world. There was something inside of me that held me back from doing a lot of those things. God had a special purpose for me. That's why when the parents say, okay, let her ask her what she thinks. Will you go with this man? She says, I'll go. You see, that's the mystery. She's in this, but that's showing the mystery of the bride. Now, once the light strikes, she wants to respond straight away. She doesn't need to wait another 10 days for confirmation of anything. No, there's no point in delay. God has made it clear. Let's go. Let's get the job done. Yeah, and that's what Eliezer and the mystery of that. So marriage is the reflection of this great mystery. And the prophet says God veiled these mysteries and all the shadows and types. In all of the people in the Bible and all the characters that we read of, these heart's purpose, these things, this purpose of Christ and his bride. Imagine, what could be more important to the Lord as who's going to spend eternity with his son? That's the most important thing to the Lord. I mean, that's the very deep inside of Jehovah through the ages. I need to find the suitable bride for my son. And that's why he starts displaying it now. And the first time he unveils it in a type is in Eden. You know, because she has his son who needs a suitable bride. And the Lord shows, okay, let me show the generations to come. They're not going to understand it now, but they're going to understand it down the way. I'm not going to make my son and his wife the way I make the rest of nature. I'm not going to make the husband and the man and the woman, man and the woman, or the male and the female, male and the female. I'm going to make just my son. And his bride's going to be in him. Amen. Friends, people never understood that. They would have said, why did God do that? That doesn't make sense. God had it veiled in a mystery. Because the bride was in Christ. So Eve was now inside of Adam. But how was the bride going to come forth? There was going to be a mystery again. There was going to be the mystery of the deep sleep of Adam. God himself had to take the first Adam and put him in a deep sleep. And it was while he was in a deep sleep, he took the bride from his side. So here was Adam, his masterpiece. He has to open up the masterpiece in the side. And he has to take the bride out now. And only when Adam wakes up now, he presents the bride now. He has your bride. And Adam gets in the spirit now of the mystery. He now gets in the spirit of the occasion. This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Friends, Adam's never written a poem before. Adam's never sung a song before when he's naming the animals, when he's doing all. But this great mystery touches him deeper than something's ever touched him before. You know what the Jews, they say about Adam? Why God had to take Eve from there? They say, firstly, God took Eve from under his arm, because the wife comes under the wing of her husband, under his protection. And secondly, it had to be close to his heart, because there's no issue more close to the heart of a man than this. So friends, God is showing in this mystery what he feels. God inside of his heart, there's nothing more precious to him than, where am I going to find a suitable bride for my son? The only way I can do it, I've got to bring my son. And I've got to take him to the cross. He's the masterpiece. That the masterpiece needs to be smitten. And he has to be put in a deep sleep. Yeah, Christ had to die on the cross. And only when he was in the deep sleep, then he came and he took the bride. Then the soldier came to break his legs, but he's already dead. So he took the spear and put it in his side. Here came the water. Here came the blood. Jesus had already released his spirit. Now came everything required to bring forth the bride. Can you see, friends? Marriage is a great mystery. This is something very important to the Lord. God's trying to reflect something very important inside of his own heart. So when people are approaching marriage, he wants them to discern that. That this is some sacred sanctuary. This is holy ground. This is important to the Lord. This isn't just something that you enter into lightly. This isn't just something that it's try before you buy and, you know, all these kind of things, you know. And like in the world today, you know, buy one, get one free and all these kind of things. No, if you start getting in the spirit of this, you start understanding, but Lord, this is important to you. And this is the season in my life which I can feel you want me to get married. Start getting in the spirit of the occasion. You know, start getting in the spirit. Start getting prayerful. Start waiting upon the Lord so that when now he starts unfolding the mystery, you might walk together with him in the mystery. Because the greatest fellowship you'll ever have with God is when you walk with him in the mystery. Like Abraham, when he goes to offer Isaac, imagine he's walking with God. Imagine the fellowship he's having there. Now he's entered into such a deep mystery. God is feeling so much. And when you have the right attitude at those junctions, you approach God's mysteries the right way, that's when the divine blessing comes upon what you do. And we're expecting that when our sister, our brother now get married, because they've entered into the spirit of this. Right from the beginning, Brother Shem, he didn't play games. He didn't do worldly things. Sister Asna, she went about it the right way. They did it in a respectful way. They did it under the governance of the word. And if you want to stay walking in the mystery, you've got to stay in the word. The moment you come out of the word, you're not walking in the mystery anymore. You know, they walked in this mystery through the mystery now of election, the choosing of a bride. Then they went into the mystery of courtship now. Yeah, now they're coming to the mystery of the union now. Oh, friends, there's going to be many witnesses there. And a great occasion. Because, friends, what we'll be celebrating on that day is but a shadow of the great day that's to come. Friends, you think of the marriage supper of the Lamb, what it's going to be like there up there. Oh, friends, I know this is going to be a powerful wedding. This is going to be a great wedding. Oh, friends, you're going to see when we get there. I'm sure this is going to be a very big, big, powerful wedding. But, friends, it's nothing compared to what's going to happen up there. Because this is but a shadow. But when the sister comes walking veiled in white, and she's veiled now, then when the vows are made, then she's going to be unveiled. Oh, friends, the prophet says the bride now, she's veiled. But at the wedding supper, she'll be fully unveiled. Yeah, because we'll be clothed in a body like unto his own glorious body. And there'll be the unveiling now. And then there'll come the final eternal union. Things will never be the same from there for the rest of Brother Shem or Sister Asna's life. From next week on Monday, life's never going to be the same. You know, the brother before, he could just take a shirt, put his trainers in the bag, just look online, choose a place on the map, so okay, let me go there for a holiday. You know, people are saying that if you want to get a good holiday, you search and say, Dublin 2. Fly from Dublin 2, don't put a destination. Friends, when you're single, you can do those kind of things. But when you're married, it's never the same again. Yeah, because you've entered into a deeper part of a mystery. There's now the mystery of responsibility. There's now the mystery of your children and all these things that start coming forth from there. So from the time that that decision is made, things will never be the same. And Christ and his bride from the wedding supper, things will never be the same for all eternity. He'll never be without her and she'll never be without him. We'll be forever with the Lord, the Bible says. You know, so you can see that's why weddings, people in days gone by, they discerned the mystery. They realized this is important. God is reflecting something very important to himself here. And they managed to enter in days gone by. And that's where weddings became so important to people. Weddings are far more important occasions than funerals. Yeah, you make so much more preparation for a wedding than you do. Yeah, sometimes for big birthdays, you make big preparation. But in all of life, there's no bigger day for preparation, no bigger day for logistics than your wedding. And that is exactly what God is trying to testify to us. That's the greatest day that he's been working all through time for. It's for that great day that's to come. That's why we sang the song, there's going to be a meeting in the air. Friends, we're going to have a meeting down there at the hotel. But friends, it's just a foretaste of the meeting that's going to be in the air. You know, and like I say, unfortunately, the world now, they don't esteem this mystery at all. You know, they long got out of the spirit of this mystery. They don't understand. They say, hey, why are you dressing all in white? They don't understand. Why are you putting something over your face? No, the natural world today. Friends, they get married in a tracksuit, if they get married at all. Some guys come get married in short trousers. You'll see them. It just shows they haven't discerned the mystery. They haven't got in the spirit of the occasion. They haven't got into the deep that God is asking people to get into when he approaches these things. And that's why it's so disposable to them. It's not important. These Hollywood stars, they signed their prenuptial agreement. You know what that basically is saying? Look, when this marriage fails, you're not taking any of my money. That's what it says. And then she's saying, you're not getting any of my goods either. And you sign a piece of paper before you get married. You're signing your document of surrender even before the battle begins. But think that's what the world is doing. They signed this prenuptial agreement to say, you're not having anything of mine. My money is my money. Friends, imagine the Lord doing that to us. He doesn't. He says, look, when you say I do to me, we together, all that I own is yours. All that I am is yours. That's what a wedding's supposed to be. That you take everything and you put it all together and you say, this is ours. You don't know this is mine and this is mine and you can't touch this and you can't touch that. I don't think we've got into the spirit of the occasion. That's really not what a marriage is supposed to be about. We're supposed to be one flesh. We're supposed to come into a oneness, which is exactly what the bride is called into, a oneness with Christ. We don't hold anything back from Christ. We don't say, you can't have, this is my money. Huh? And I'm stepping on some toes here, I can tell by the silence. Friends, have we agreed that ever since we got married, there's no my money or your money, it's our money. I mean, hey, how can it be my money? How can it be Gitana's money? Where do we get that from? You might agree and say, okay, you save this or you save. Fine, do those kinds of things. But friends, it's got to be, we're in this together. We made a vow until death us do part. I'm not expecting her to run off with my money sometime. That's why I'm saying, no, you can't touch this. That's a prenuptial agreement. No, we don't have those kind of things. Friends, we should be in the spirit of oneness in this. Now, if you don't have the spirit of oneness yet, if you're approaching marriage and you're not sure, you need to pray some more. Because you don't need to stand before many witnesses and say, I do until death us do part. Unless you are 100% sure. Because this is until death us do part. God is going to hold you accountable for that vow, the covenant that you made before many witnesses in the presence of God in his house. While marriage belongs in the house of God. Ah, friends, we have to stand before God one day and give an account of that. Because when you make that covenant and you take the ring and you put it on somebody's finger, you're saying this is the token, this is the seal of the covenant. That I'm going to love you in sickness and in health. In richer and poorer. Yeesh. Even when you're not slim the way that you were when you married. Yeah. Even when the wrinkles start coming and the gray hair and all these kind of things. Friends, you got to really get into the spirit of this mystery. This is a great mystery. It's a great blessing. But you've got to get in the spirit of it. But the world, the way that they handle these things, friends, is totally out of the spirit of the mystery. And God looks down. Whenever God institutes something, marriage is important to God. Because this is speaking of the marriage of his son and the bride. So to God, this is a sacred thing. Now, whenever something is sacred to God and you fail to discern that. Yeah. Remember Paul said even about the Corinthians, when they failed to discern the body of the Lord in communion. He said, that's the reason many are sick and many are weak and many of you even sleep. It displeases the Lord. Friends, when you fail to discern, when you don't walk in the spirit of what God is doing for you, the Lord's not happy with that. But when you walk in the spirit of it, you will see at the wedding, you will see God's blessing, how it'll come down. Amen. When you've walked in the spirit of a mystery, yeah, when you've really approached marriage the right way, when you've respected the Lord, when you've been governed by his word each step of the way, prayerfully and advisably, see how God comes and says amen at your wedding. Amen. God will be pleased. He looked down and said, that's what marriage is supposed to be. This is a true reflection of the real thing. And whenever you now start working according to the heavenly pattern, God's glory always comes down. When Moses built the tabernacle according to the heavenly pattern, on that great day now, when God gathered them all together for the inauguration, the glory filled the tabernacle now. And God himself came and bore witness and said, this is pleasing to me. When Jesus walked the life he did, on the mount, God came down. This is my beloved son. Friends, there's nothing worse than when you get to a marriage and the only guest that you hoped would be there isn't there, which is the Lord. Because the bride and the groom have played hanky-panky along the way. Yeah, you know, they've played physically, they've slept together, they've done all these kind of things. And then you come to your wedding and you wonder why there's no divine blessing. Yeah, and everyone's gathered and everybody's excited about the occasion. And you get there and you can just see this, something is wrong. Something is missing here. Friends, do you want that inside of your life? No, but whenever you build according to the heavenly pattern, heaven will always respond to what you're doing. And now marriage must be built according to the heavenly pattern. And God came down right from Eden and right through the Old Testament. He started to unveil this mystery of marriage. The mystery of Christ and his bride. Oh, friends, what is the next thing that we find in the Bible? Joseph, the son of prosperity. Yeah. Joseph, Zaphnath Paneah, the revealer of secrets. A type of Christ, the savior of the Gentiles. Rejected by his brothers, he's given a Gentile bride. What's her name? Asnath. Oh, friends, is that not a nice thing? You can see God is reflecting something here. And if you go and read in Genesis, what does it say? Where did Joseph get his bride from? Pharaoh chose his bride for him. Joseph never went out himself looking for a bride. It came from the throne. You see, it was Pharaoh had a burden. This son of mine, in a sense. Yeah, look at the way he's laboring now for my people. The best thing I can do for him, I mean, yes, I'll put the ring on his finger. I'll put the royal robe on him. I'll put the sandals on his feet. I'll give him the second chariot in the kingdom. But I'll choose a bride for him. You see, it's just really showing the same reflection once again. It's God's responsibility, friends. Right from Eden, it was God's responsibility. In Abraham and Isaac, it was Abraham had the burden. It was his responsibility. Pharaoh felt the burden and said, please, You marry this. She's the daughter of the priest. This is the best wife that I can think for you. Yeah. God unveils it like that. And you can go right through the Old Testament. What's the next story? Ruth and Boaz. Friends, here's the mystery of redemption in marriage. Here God is showing forth the mystery. He has the kinsman redeemer, a mighty man of wealth. His name is Boaz. Yeah. If you go and read, he's a mighty man of wealth. That also can be interpreted. A mighty man in the law. He was a man that was governed by the word. Respected by all people. He was the Lord of the harvest. Hey, friends, but there was one thing missing. Where was his bride? Where was his bride? His bride was like you and I. She was in the world in Moab. And there had to be a process of redemption. There first had to be election. And when there was election, God looked down and saw Ruth down there in Moab. God has a way, friends, to get the truth to you. And he has Naomi. She leaves church, her and her husband Elimelech. Ah, they backslide all the way down to Moab. And God can bring good out of evil. Even your mistakes, God can redeem those mistakes. They go down, then they live out of the promised land because there's famine in the land. Ah, it's tough these days. Me, I'm going to go and live in North Korea. Understand there's some good money to be made. And you go away from fellowship. And then when you're down there, now the consequences of your decision, Naomi's husband dies. The two boys die. Now here's the Naomi, and she's got two daughters-in-law. What are you going to do? Then she hears God is visiting his people in Bethlehem. And something moves inside of her. And she says, this is the season of restoration. This is the harvest time. I need to go back to my inheritance. I'm not going to stay here and die. Yes, my husband made the wrong decision. But it doesn't mean I have to stay and die under this decision. I'm going back. And that reflection of truth, of light inside of Naomi, struck the seed inside of Ruth. And when Ruth now, she comes and she's with Orpah, and they come all the quite a long distance on the way. They say, no, we'll both come with you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the going starts getting a little bit tough. And she said, look, it's no point you come. Go back to your gods. I can't give you a husband. Even if I have a child now, you're going to have to wait 20 years to get married again. No, rather go back to your father's house. Go back to your father's gods. And there, you know, Orpah, she gives her crocodile tears and she goes back. And what does Ruth say? No, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Nothing but death will separate us. And where you buried, I'll be buried. Friends, what's being reflected here? Here's a reflection of a virtuous bride. Here's a reflection of the real bride. God has veiled it in a mystery. If you want to know you're the bride, are you reflected in Ruth? Do people have to pull you out of the world? Yeah, nah, I like my worldly music. No, no, I like my worldly fashion. I'm not too sure about whether you're a type of Ruth. People persuade you back to the world, back to the old things again. No, that's more a type of Orpah. But Ruth, once truth struck home, once she saw, no, 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 I'm not born to die as an animal like the rest of these people, to worship these pagan gods, to dress in this ungodly way, to conduct myself in this immorality of this society. There's a deeper purpose. I can feel it inside of myself. And ever since I met you, Naomi, something changed inside of me. Something moved. There was something inside of me that never moved before. But the moment you started speaking about Jehovah, you started speaking about your God, and you started speaking about the Exodus, and you started speaking about the pillar of fire, and you started speaking about, you know, the great deeds that he did for your people, something moved inside of me. I have a hope. I have a feeling of a purpose, a destiny for the first time inside of my life. Friends, it was a mystery being unveiled. Because here was a deep inside of Boaz, waiting for a deep somewhere else to respond. And God is showing us in this mystery that his seed is many times in the most unlikely of places. Yeah, most unlikely of places. Just before that, we've seen in Joshua how Rahab came into the lineage of Christ. Wow, Rahab the harlot. You know, the Lord's really showing us a Gentile harlot coming in from her harlotry, coming under the token and coming now into the lineage of Jesus Christ. And every single one of these things, God is trying to show just one thing to us, that he wants you and I to be united with him. Amen. That there's a deep inside of you as a believer that you just want to be and walk with him, to live with him. Whether you have nothing in this world, whether you have much in this world, whether there's persecution or not, but as long as I have him, amen. Which is exactly with Peter. Hallelujah. All the others are going, Peter, do you want to go as well? Where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Amen. Nothing's going to separate me from you. Not even death. Yeah. Although he was a little bit brave, a little bit proud when he said it, you know. Even though the rest of these brothers here deny you, I'll never deny you. Yeah, yeah. Be careful what you say. Yeah, you may have a genuine desire, but don't walk in the flesh. You know, so Ruth. Now the great mystery of Ruth and Boaz, the thing I love about it is that Ruth got in the spirit of the occasion. Ruth, now she's gleaning in the fields. And there's all these young men round and about. And Boaz has actually told them, don't you touch her. Don't give her a hard time. And all these young men are there. Now, she's a beautiful woman. She's about 40 years old or so, according to the Jews, yeah? Now, she can easily get married again. She's living in poverty. She's gleaning in the fields of Boaz. She's a widow, living with another widow, her mother-in-law. It was very easy for her to go her own way, to step out of the spirit of the mystery she was in, to step out from under the word, to find a solution to her situation. But she knew what it said in Deuteronomy. When the Bible says, if a man dies and he doesn't have children, his near kinsman, his brother, shall go in unto the wife and have a child, and that firstborn son shall be named after the husband who died. And Ruth now, she sees that in the word. Naomi now, the prophet says, the Old Testament, was ministering her into the channel of the word, showing her that, Ruth, God has a provision for this. No, you don't have a child. You don't have an heir. You don't have someone to redeem your situation. But God has a way. It's the way of a kinsman redeemer. He's got to be a near kinsman. He's got to be willing to do it. He's got to be able to do it. If you can just find someone in that condition, he needs to marry you. And your firstborn child will be named after your husband. And that's how you'll keep the name of your husband alive. Amen. I imagine Ruth with all these pressing issues inside of her life. Now hunger, wondering where her next meal's going to come from. Maybe her clothes are starting to get old through the weary months of gleaning in Boaz's field. The prophet says gleaning barefoot in the fields of Boaz. It wasn't easy for her. But she stays under the word. She knows there's a redemptive word I'm supposed to fulfill. The most important thing is not for me to find ease and comfort now. The most important thing for me, I need to raise up the name of my husband. Amen. That's the deep that's inside of her. She's in the spirit of redemption. She's walking in the spirit of redemption day by day. And Satan will be there trying to offer all of these things in the midst of her circumstances. And then finally now, Naomi starts to sense the time of the promise is drawing near. The season of the mystery is supposed to be unveiled now. And she says, my daughter, is it not good for me to find rest for you now? She says, how am I supposed to do it? And now the word now starts to show her. You have a kinsman. This is the way that you need to approach him. When he's at the feast for the harvest, when he's sleeping there, when they're threshing the grain, he'll be sleeping down there. He's the Lord of the harvest. What you need to do is you need to go and lay at his feet. And the prophet speaks of it in Kinsman Redeemer, all the types. Go and find where he lay. He says, that's Christ on Calvary. Where did he lay his life down for you? You go and lay your life down at the feet of the one who lay his life down for you. Go and find where did he lay. Lay yourself at his feet. Oh, friends. And she's willing to bear the reproach. Because what are people going to say if they see her going and laying down at the feet of this unmarried man? But she's willing to bear the reproach of the word. So that she can walk in this mystery. Because she can see God is unveiling something. It's not fully fulfilled yet. But I can sense in my soul, this is the season of the promise. This is the time for this to be fulfilled. And she goes and lays herself down. And he wakes up in the night. He gets a shock. Who's lying at my feet? Now he's guarding his corn. And now he feels somebody by his feet. Maybe someone's coming to kill me or something. And he looks and says,
I'm your handmaid. Cast your skirt upon me. Oh, friends. She's saying, redeem me. The prophet is casting the skirt. That's throwing the Holy Ghost upon me. They bring me into a union together with you. Oh, friends. So what is Boaz now? Now Boaz gets into the spirit of redemption now. You see, he now enters into the spirit of the occasion. Because of her approach to him, because she's approached it the right way, the anointing comes down upon Boaz.
Amen.
Friends, you cannot approach the Lord the right way and he's not moved. He's always going to be touched. You can't come and lay yourself down at his feet and make a redemptive claim on him and he's not moved towards that. He has to be friends. And she comes and lays us. She's in the spirit of redemption. She's not there for any hanky-panky funny business. She's there to raise up the name of her dead husband. She's there for redemptive purposes. She's governed by the word. And so now Boaz gets anointed and he says, blessed art thou, my daughter. For you have shown more kindness in this than you did at the beginning. For you to leave your people to look after your old mother-in-law. That was a great act of kindness. For you to come and share in her poverty. Yeah, to help her by even coming to my fields to glean. That was great kindness. But what you've done here exceeds them all.
Amen.
She says, because you never went after young men. You never sought the answer to your situation yourself. But you stayed governed by the word.
Amen.
And all of the my people do know that you're a virtuous woman. A virtuous woman, friends. And the virtuous woman always gets the blessing. When you approach marriage virtuously, when you go through your courtship virtuously, when you come to a marriage, you will see the blessing of Boaz come upon your wedding. See how he'll bless you upon that day. Because you've been walking in the redemptive mystery. You've been playing your part. The Lord is trying to show us to Brother Shem, Sister Athna, say, please, my children, show to this adulterous generation what I really meant marriage should be. In the midst of this darkness, let there be a reflection of light. And I'm so glad there's been a great reflection of light. They've done it the right way, and God bless them for that. And he will bless them for that. Because they've entered into the spirit of the occasion. They entered into the spirit of the mystery. They realize this just isn't about flesh and blood issues. You know, about chemistry and about sleeping together and shacking up in a home. There's far more to this than that. God has a purpose. God wants to reveal something even in the simplicity of our home, in the simplicity to our neighbors when the young boys are running around with their teenagers with the girls of the world. And there's a young boy there, and he's got a sincerity inside of him. And then he starts looking at Brother Clayton, and he says, hey, the way this young man is handling himself, I don't see him heading out into the dark places of the night, just him and his girlfriend together before marriage. No, I see they do their things respectfully. They do their things honorably. Friends, that's a reflection of the word.
Amen.
And that'll minister to the sincerity inside of any person. That's why it says, let your light so shine before men that people may see your works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And friends, that's what it is when you start walking in the mystery the way that they did. And that's why now Boaz and Ruth, now Ruth, she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And she's the great-grandmother of David and all those kind of things. That's because she got into the spirit of that occasion that they were in when God unsealed the mystery. Now friends, as we close, now, what is our responsibility now? As we approach this wedding, let's get in the spirit of the occasion. Each and every one of us, let's really get in the spirit of the occasion. This is not just the wedding of Brother Shem and Sister Asnath. There's something far deeper than this. This is a son and daughter of God getting married. And we need to discern the occasion. So we don't just approach this just like we'd approach when your buddy is getting married at work. Yeah, and he drinks and he smokes, really living with a woman. Yeah, and he says, okay, come along and be to my wedding. That's okay. You know, go, give a gift, give a card, whatever you can do. But friends, this is far more sacred than that.
Amen.
Now, this is the program. God is reflecting something to people through this. So we desire this wedding to be a success so that Christ can be glorified in this.
Hallelujah.
So that the unbelievers who come, the people at the hotel, they will see a reflection of the real thing. They'll know what a real wedding is. They will know that what God intended inside of his heart when he said to Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. I'm going to find a wife for you. Right from there, God wants this to be a reflection of that. And every single one of us have a part to play in this. Every single one of us, first even by our prayer, to pray that God will just be in everything. Because friends, it's not easy, the logistics for weddings. You know, I know our sister Sharon, she's been having sleepless nights. It's a lot of pressure. And our brother Shem and everyone, sister Asta, it's not easy. And all of us, we do whatever we can, pull in and let's get things to be such a great success for the glory of Christ. Because this is a reflection of Christ and his bride. This is a reflection of what Christ thinks of you and of a great day to come. So we desire it to be that. And then as we get to the wedding itself, the final point is, don't ever let a mystery become a tradition. You see, once you lose the spirit of the mystery, that's what the world did. God gave a mystery of marriage. The world lost the whole spirit of made it a tradition. And there's nothing as bad as a tradition. There's no life in a tradition. There's no blessing in a tradition. Let's not let anything be a tradition. And how does something become a tradition? Firstly, when you get out of the spirit of the mystery. And secondly, when you come out of the word. Now, if you want to stay in the mystery, you've got to make sure that every part of the mystery is under the word. You think when you get to the marriage supper up there, friends, imagine the music that's going to be played up there. Imagine when we get to the marriage supper, there's going to be serious rejoicing up there, friends. Friends, there's going to be great rejoicing on that day. But the music there is compatible with the mystery. You're not going to find worldly music up there. No, but I see it in the bride now. We seem to be bringing in a lot of worldly music in the weddings. And you say, what are we doing? This is supposed to be a reflection of a mystery. We're not going to find Pepe Kale up there in, at the wedding supper. You know, Congolese rumba. You know, rumba. You're not going to find that kind of music. That's not suitable for the occasion. Now, friends, we don't want funeral music at the wedding either. You know? We're not going to be singing Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. That's a wonderful song, but not suitable for the occasion. We want to the musicians and the people handling these things to get in the spirit of the mystery. So they get in the spirit of the occasion. So the music that comes forth is exactly what God wanted in that occasion. And then we'll rejoice with the music when it's time to rejoice. We'll do whatever when it's time to do whatever. But friends, every single person, we need to be governed by the word. Every aspect must be governed by the word. Yeah. Friends, at the wedding supper, people aren't coming dressed, they're shabby. Are you telling me at the wedding supper there in the sky, people are going to come there with dirty garments? They're not. People will dress their best. He'll provide a garment suitable for the occasion. You know, so we need to be putting on our best, presenting the best that we can, because it's a reflection of that which is to come. But on the other hand, there's no spirit of competition up there either. People aren't going to be competing up there to say that my garment's better than your garment. Because we're seeing that coming into the weddings in the message as well. We want to compete with the previous wedding. You know, I'm going to outdo them in my wedding. Your motive and objective is wrong. No, this is for the glory of God. This is the unveiling of a mystery. Let our motive be right. Let it be done beautifully. If you're rich, wonderful. Use your riches for the benefit of your daughter, your son, the bride. Wonderful. That's what we should be doing. Our Father's rich. He uses his riches on behalf of his children. That's a reflection of God and his son, God and his daughter. But friends, let's keep it in the word. Let's stay in the spirit of the occasion. When it's time to dance, no, we don't have to do some of the dances of the world when we're there, friends. No, let's keep it in harmony with the spirit of the occasion that we're in. Let's rejoice, but let's keep it under the word. Let's keep it within the boundaries and parameters so that heaven can continue to look down and say amen to the things that are being done. Heaven has said amen at the engagement. That was a blessed engagement we had with Brother Shem and Sister Arthur. Heaven has said amen through all of these preparations. We want heaven to say amen in everything that's done. When we sit at the table and we're enjoying the food, it's a reflection of the table 1,000 miles long. Now we want that to be pleasing to the Lord. So friends, I really do believe as we enter into the final stage of this, now the final preparations that need to be made, let's really pray to get into the spirit of the, if you're not already in the spirit of the occasion. Friends, these are wonderful times. Weddings are times to rejoice. Weddings are time, you know, funerals are time to cry. Now, we have baby dedications we appreciate. The baptisms are wonderful. But there's something special about weddings. And this is a special wedding because these are children of God. We had a special wedding with Brother Joel and Sister Chisoma. Just thinking of their wedding. Friends, when you get up there and the wedding supper up there, no one's going to be late. They're going to keep time. Let's keep time at this wedding. Don't come late to the wedding. Can you imagine Jesus waiting for the bride up there and he's looking at his watch saying, where's my bride? You know, and she's supposed to be there at a certain time and she's 2 hours late. No, let's get in the spirit of the occasion. That's a great witness to the people of the world. When they see people in the spirit, things are moving just the way. Brother Joel and Sister Soma's wedding was such a masterpiece with that. Everything was just cha-cha-cha, moved so sweetly and on time. What an example that was set. So next week, don't be late for the wedding. You know, and in your preparations, the bride and the bridesmaids and stuff like that. You know, get in the spirit of it. Make sure you do it so that, just at the time when the Lord is there waiting for Brother Lubanza now to come bringing Sister Asnath in and the music starts to play, everything's running just in time. Everything's running. So it shows everybody's in the spirit of the occasion. And the deacons will help with that. Everybody will try to help. Any last minute hitches, any last minute snags that come. Friends, let's try to keep everything as a reflection of the heavenly pattern. Because that's where we get the real blessing from. You know, let's not allow the music to be hijacked. And somebody comes and puts some bebop and stuff. Friends, some music is even worse than rock and roll these days. When the prophet says, don't put rock and roll. Friends, some of this music these days, and people are quiet. But some of the music today, friends, it is not right. They may put Christian words to it, but the music is not right. Now, would you play that music if the prophet was at the wedding? Now, make sure that everything that's done, you can filter it through the word. Use the thinking man's filter, the spiritual man's filter. If we want God's blessing on everything that we do, let's really get in the spirit of the occasion. Let's really seek the Lord's blessing. Let's be governed by the redemptive word. Oh, friends, I'm really looking forward to this wedding. If it can just get through this week, because there's still a lot that needs to be done. If the Lord can just help, but the Lord always helps us to get over the finishing line. You know, he always is there to pick things up for us. So there's a few people, saints, that we are going to need some accommodation. I'll put it on the forum straight after church. So if anybody is able to accommodate some of our visitors, most of the visitors have got their own accommodation, but we've got some people that need us to help with accommodation and a few people needing help with transport as well. You know, so now that I've ministered you into the spirit of the occasion, now we're starting to show one of the reasons why we needed you to be in the spirit of the occasion, because we're needing some help with some of these things. Now, next week as well, because we're having so many people are coming from outside of the country, we've been looking at maybe hiring a different place for service next week on Sunday. The senior youth have helped us. So we try to finalize that. Please keep that in prayer. You know, there's a very nice place that we could use, which could accommodate everybody next week. So I'm sure later today or tomorrow, we'll finalize that and let you know. But let's really be in prayer about that. We're going to need our musical instruments and stuff to be transported. If we have church on Sunday somewhere else, we really, really do need our trustees and our strong young men to be in the spirit of the occasion to help on Sunday to take things to the hall and then to get them out to for the wedding on Monday. But I'm sure we have more than enough people whose hearts are moved, desiring the Lord to be a blessing in this. You might not have too much money that you can help or give as a present for the wedding. There's two things you can do. One, you can pray with all your heart for God's blessing. And two, whatever opportunity, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart and God will bless you. And when you get in the spirit of the occasion now and help our brother and our sister, you will see how God will kick in for you. You will see how God will look down and say, you blessed my son, you blessed my daughter. You will see the special blessing that I've got reserved up for you. So friends, let's really be in the spirit of these things. And I think the best way we could start is now. Let's pray about these things now. Let's come before the Lord. There's these last minute things that need to be done and different people coming in. Next week on Sunday, we're so glad to have Brother Philemon from Accra, from Ghana. He's going to be preaching for us. He's preaching for Brother Oliver today. He's coming across to us on Thursday, him and another brother. He's going to take next Sunday service. We thank Brother Lubanza for arranging that. Looking forward to that. And at the wedding, we're asking Brother Vusi from Soweto. He's going to be preaching at the wedding. So let's pray for these brothers as well. Amen. Let's pray for the service on Sunday to be a foretaste of the blessing on Monday. Amen. Let's pray for Brother Vusi as he travels, gets here on Saturday. The Lord will put him right into the spirit of the occasion. Amen. That it will be a blessing when he comes and ministers the word on Sunday. Let's pray for our musicians. Let's pray. You know, we all know what's involved in these things, friends. So let's stand. And let's come before the Lord in prayer. As we desire the Lord's richest blessings upon these proceedings, that He, His will may be done. Let's ask our musicians to lead us in one song. And then let's put all of this before the Lord. And as we pray, if you're not in the spirit of the composer, now's the time that you can just put everything under the blood. Just yield yourself to Him and ask Him to minister you into the spirit of the occasion. What do you have for us, brothers? Let's sing that song, Meeting in the Air. Let's sing the whole song. Are you not looking forward to the meeting in the air? Friends, I'm looking forward to the meeting at the wedding. It's going to be a blessing. But imagine it's just a small foretaste of the meeting that's going to be in the air.
Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of Philip, David, and his sleep. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph. Oh, and of Jonah and the whale we often see. There are many, many others through the Bible. Oh, I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord will surely let us meet them at the meeting in the air. Hallelujah, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you, I will meet you over there, in that home. I do declare, and God's own Son will be the leading one at the meeting in the air. Many things will there be missing in that meeting, and the mourners' bench will have no place at all. There will be no sinners to see us. All the sinners had refused to heed their call. There will be no mourning over wayward loved ones. There will be no lonely nights of pleading prayer. All our burdens and our anguish will be lifted. By and by, I am going to meet you. I will meet you over there in that home beyond the skies. I'm singing you a hymn, my mortal ears will be glorious. I do declare, and God's own Son will be a living one. Will be absent on that day. There will be no gumless present to disturb us, and the anchors will be busy far away. There the
saints will be present at the meeting in the air.
Oh, hallelujah!
There is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you. I'll meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Start singing, you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. To be glorious, I do declare that God's own Son will be the leading one in the meeting in the air.
Oh, friends, are you ready for that meeting in the air? Now, you need a wedding garment. You've already received an invitation. The moment that Christ comes, the Holy Ghost comes and knocks on the door of your heart and says, come unto me. That's your invitation. But he needs you to accept the invitation. He needs you to say, I do to him. He needs you to submit yourself, to yield yourself and say, yes, Lord, I need redemption. My garments are filthy. They're spotted by the world. I can't go to the wedding supper like this. And the Bible says he'll take your old, the song says it all, take your old tattered garments and he'll give you a robe of pure white. And then you'll feel at home. You'll start getting in the spirit of things. Church won't be difficult for you anymore. But you'll start getting in the spirit. You say, oh, I wish we could just stay a bit longer. I wish we could sing a little bit more. Oh, you're starting to get clothed. You're starting to get in the spirit of the occasion. But you've got to start at the altar. You've got to put your sins under the blood. Now, maybe you've gone beyond that, but no, you're not in the spirit of the composer at this time. Life has knocked you out of tune. Your guitar is not playing in harmony with the heavenly chorus. No, and you want to just come and put yourself back in the hands of the Lord and say, Jesus, please, Lord, come and tune me in once again. Lord, I want to lay in your presence, Lord. I want you to minister me back into harmony with you, Lord. I want the mind of Christ. I don't want my own thoughts. I don't want to think my own things and make my own decisions. But Lord, I'm just returning back to you. The best is to speak to him about it. Friends, whatever your need, put it before the Lord. But let's remember our precious sister and our precious brother. As we have just a week and a day left, that everything may come together for the glory of God. That Jesus may be the oil in the machine. That he may cover the gaps that maybe we haven't seen. That he'll just move people and just let it be like the building of the temple in the days of Solomon. That now there was no sound of the axe. There was no sound of the chisel. Everything just fitted into its place at the right time. That's what we're seeking for. And may the Lord richly bless you. Amen. Let's all pray. Let's put this before the Lord before we leave this place. Father, I'm so glad that we can come, Lord, upon this day. too close for us in prayer. Brother George, you pray, brother. Yes. Amen.
We thank you for your goodness. Oh, Father, as the pastor preached not long ago, Lord, Father, when you are showing us the approach that we have to thee, oh God. Oh, we come before thee, Abba, Father. We come before thee, Papa God. Lord, Savior, we don't want to approach thee, Lord, Father, as Elohim, for Lord, you are no longer Elohim, Lord. Father, Lord, you have your subjects and we are your children. And we come before thee, Lord, on so great an occasion. Father, Lord, precious Savior, Father, we are, Lord, Savior, the witnesses to see the joining together, Lord, Father, of, Lord, Savior, a blessed couple. Lord and Lord, we want to pray, Lord, every day and every step of the way. We want to pray that everything, Lord, even the things that we don't see, may they all line up, Lord, Father, just for this occasion, Lord, Savior. Oh, what a happy day. What a happy occasion, Lord Savior. Lord, even the heavens rejoice for Lord Savior to see, oh Father, a righteous Lord Savior, brother and sister, oh God, coming by this way, Lord Savior. Oh Father, we see too much, Lord Savior, what this world spews out to us, oh God. But Lord Father, we, Lord Savior, now want to, Lord Savior, give back unto Lord creation and give back, Lord, to this world the right way to do things, Lord. We want to take, Lord, Father, oh precious Savior, the godly way and the godly route, Lord Savior. Knowing indeed, Lord Savior, that this wedding, Lord Savior, just won't only be, Lord, next week, Monday, Lord Savior, but it would be a life from then on, Lord Savior. Oh Father, they would come, Lord Savior, children, they would come a home, Lord Savior. They would come many blessings, Lord Savior. Oh Father, because of this day, Father, Lord, and many young people that would be here, many people that would see far and wide, Lord Father, not only believers, but even the world, Lord. Lord, it would be an influence, Lord Savior, for we are an influence, Lord, one to another. Lord, we ask your grace, Lord. May this be, Lord Savior, an occasion, Lord, that would, Lord Savior, be a blessing, Lord Savior, that even the heavens, Lord Savior, would smile upon us, Lord, that the weather, Lord Savior, would be suited for the occasion, Lord Savior. Oh, we are rebuking, Lord, Lord, these cold times, Lord, Lord, these dark clouds, oh God. Lord, we are asking, Lord Savior, that you would give us, Lord, oh, the Son of Righteousness, Lord, oh, the type of the Son, Lord Savior. Give us, Lord Savior, oh Father, that the logistics, Lord, that are behind these things, Lord, let all be governed, Lord, by the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, Lord. Let him, Lord Savior, be instrumental behind them, Lord Savior. And let us, Lord Savior, just fall in line, Lord, Father, with thee, that you would use us, Lord, even along the way, Lord Savior. It could be, Lord Savior, that we could be in bed, Lord Savior. And Lord, you could start us, Lord. Lord, you could urge us, Lord. Lord, to go to the airport, Lord. Lord, and pick up a brother or sister, Lord Savior. Lord, if you are in the thing, Lord Savior, Lord, it is astronomical, Lord. Lord, it is, Lord Savior, a blessing, Lord Savior. We thank you, Lord, for this word ministered, Lord. Bless our pastor, Lord. Restore virtue, Lord Savior. And let these words that is spoken, oh Father, let them be made manifest, Lord, even in these next days ahead, Lord Savior. That, Lord, when all is said and done, Lord Savior, Lord, and our brother and our sister, oh Father, oh say I do, Lord Savior, if they would go even upon their honeymoon, Lord Savior. Oh Father, we would, Lord Savior, have smiles within our hearts. Lord, we'd have joy within our hearts, oh God, at so great an occasion. Bless everyone, Lord. Bless everything, Lord Savior. Let the angel of the Lord, oh Father, that is encamped here, let him, Lord Savior, guide every situation. Let him give rest where rest is needed, Lord Savior. Let him give, Lord Savior, wisdom where wisdom is needed, Lord Savior. Let him give grace where grace is needed, Lord Savior. That, Lord Father, we would all, Father, on that day say it was a wonderful thing. It was a wonderful occasion, Lord Savior. We bless you, we praise you. We give you the grace that you deserve. Bless our visitors within our gates. Bless everyone, Lord, that has come even upon this day, Lord Savior. And let your name be glorified, Lord. For you are, Lord Savior, the principal theme of everything, Lord Savior. Lord, we've not come, Lord Savior, to see each other, but we've come to hear from Jesus. And you've told us what you want us to do. You've told us what you want of us, Lord Savior. Let us not forget, Lord, Father, these words we pray. Bless the brethren that have labored, even the labor of love this day. And give us your grace as we part. Part with us now. Give us grace, Lord, that we continue, Lord Savior, on these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Saints, let's sing a few songs of worship here, saints, of praise. What do you have for us, Brother George? It's a happy occasion. Let's sing Happy Day. Amen. Our friends, we're looking forward to the happy day. This life has many unhappy days. You don't want a wedding day to be an unhappy day. You don't want a wedding anniversary to have unhappy memories. But it's a blessing when you can look on your wedding anniversary and say, what an anniversary of a happy day. What a blessed time.
The day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray.
Coming from the north and the south and the east and the west. Because every single one of them received an invitation. And they've responded to the invitation. And we're ready to welcome each and every one who's coming. Let's sing that song, they come from the east and the west. And friends, think of this wedding invitation is a great blessing. But imagine there's an even greater invitation that we've been given and that we've accepted. And people have come from the north and the south, east, to sit at his table. To feast as his guests. That's a blessing, saints. Let's sing that song. They come from the east.
They come from the east and west. They come from the land afar. Truth is with the King to thine as his guest. How blessed is Mary. Darkness has taken flight.
I look on the great white throne before it the ransom stand. No longer are tears, no sorrow is known, nor death in the door they lay. My Savior has come before, preparing the way for me.
The last one. Let's keep Brother Wilmore in prayer. He's working today and he's got to travel to Germany for the next couple of days and he's very much involved in the wedding. So let's keep him in prayer. We do appreciate all of his efforts. Let's pray for Brother Virgus as well. Brother Alois, they've traveled to Lithuania. They've got some business to do there. They'll be back during the week. So let's keep them in prayer. God bless you, saints. Keep us in prayer. Let's keep moving on. Let's stay in the spirit of the occasion. And may the Lord bless you until we meet.
Lord, in the way thou hast come, leading straight to the home bound, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the long, fill my way every day with love, fill my way every day with love.
a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Keep me close to the side of my Savior and guide. Let me never in darkness roam. Keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly God, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way. My home above. Let me sing blessed again all the way to the shore. Feel my way every day with love. Feel my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly love, let me go and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Delivered, praise the Lord. I've been delivered by His grace. The bonds of sins are broken. I've been delivered. Praise the Lord. I've been delivered. Praise the Lord. I've been delivered by His grace. All the bonds of sins are broken. I've been delivered. Praise the Lord. I am so happy, I am so free.